Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I think Donald Trump surprisingly may not need anybody's help, but looks as though everything, oddly enough, is moving in his direction, in spite of the fact that we've had this indictment unsealed, that the former president is facing 37 felony charges, including a claim that he described a Pentagon plan of attack. Now, let me just say in a preliminary way, the legal issues involved here are actually all beneficial to Trump. He's being charged under the Foreign Espionage Act, which was really to guard against providing actionable intelligence to a foreign enemy. That did not happen here. I mean, it's really, frankly, absurd. The one case that is an apparent exception has to do with this business about a plan of attack on Iran. But that seems to be related to his explaining, or maybe even taking notes to himself, about how the Pentagon and drafted a plan to attack Iran that he did not want to attack Iran, that he thought was a terrible idea. And he was sharing his thoughts about how the Pentagon had this idea that was a very bad idea. That may be the most important, because some legal commentators have felt this was the most important issue. I think Alan Dershowitz, for example, has said that everything else is just nonsense, but this one thing he wasn't sure about, and I think what I'm saying now is really spot on in that regard. Fairly to my astonishment, Jonathan Turley, whom I have frequently touted on this show as such an expert, has described the indictment as devastating. He talks about two different types of indictments. There are those that are kind of bare bones that barely give a sketch of the issues involved. And there are others that are intended to be public relations documents. And, of course, without any question, this is a public relations document. But he said he thought it was a devastating indictment. Well, I do not think from a legal point of view it's a devastating indictment at all. Now, the Foreign Surveillance Act in relation to Presidential Records Act, there are a couple of issues here. As a general rule, more recent statutes take precedence over earlier statutes when they overlap, particularly if the more recent statute is more detailed and specific. A Presidential Records Act is far more detailed and specific, and it gives a president a lot of latitude, where, and my dear friend Rolf Lindgren brought this up during a conversation we had about these very issues yesterday. Anti-Trump judge made a ruling in relation to Bill Clinton about personal documents, and it asserted that the president had great latitude in deciding what was personal and what was not. That's going to work in Trump's favor under these conditions. Plus, a former U.S. attorney said there were oddities about the Mar-a-Lago raid that, in my opinion, are going to destroy the whole case altogether from the beginning as the fruit of a poisonous tree, by observing that it should have been transferred to the U.S. attorney in Miami to execute, but rather was kept in the office in Washington, D.C., and that the raid took place without waiting for the appearance of Trump's attorney, which normally would have been the case. In other words, he's seen anomalies in the raid on Mar-a-Lago, and we've actually, on this program, addressed those many times in the past. The whole thing looked farcical, contrived, arbitrary, capricious, clearly designated to put Trump in an awkward position, legally, politically, publicly. But then that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. Now, here we have, let's begin here with the Trump indictment. Miami. Former President Donald Trump is facing 37 felony charges. And by the way, this is a document issue. These would be misdemeanors. These wouldn't be suitable for criminal charges except for a contrivance by this attorney to convert them. In other words, he's making a monster stretch to go from an ordinary, trivial classification that would at worst be a misdemeanor. I mean, there's no way in which it would be elevated to a criminal charge. It's all manipulated. It's all manufactured. It's just what we've come to recognize from the Democrats today. Liars, phonies, cheats. They are scared shitless of Donald Trump, that he's going to clean their clock again. Not only did he win over the rigged election for Hillary in 2016, but had it not been for extraordinary efforts to steal the election in 2020, he would have and did actually receive more votes than any incumbent president has ever received. And the manufactured number for Biden is absurd on its face. A guy ran a basement campaign. He didn't even get out on the stump. And, of course, all the reasons are obvious. He would have been totally unappealing. But remember, the real Joe Biden actually died in 2017. I mean, give me a break. I've gone through this territory so many times, and we have so much proof. Got different shape. The present guy has different shape and size of head. He has a different signature. He has different body language. I made a wonderful comparison between Joe Biden in 2008. The guy's very articulate, expressive, uses his hands and gestured when he talked, just as does yours truly. Smart guy. I was impressed with the Joe Biden of 2008. The Joe Biden of 2022, totally, totally, totally different. No hand gestures, no intelligence, no expressive face. And, of course, that's because it's an actor wearing a mask. I mean, how bad is that? An actor wearing a mask. More. He described a Pentagon plan of attack and shared a classified map related to a military operation. The 49-page charging document paints a damning portrait of Trump's treatment of sensitive information, accusing him of willfully ignoring Justice Department demands to return documents he'd taken from the White House to Mar-a-Lago and even directing aides to help him hide the records sought by the government. All this is spin. All this is spin. Hide the documents? Moving boxes from one location to another. Bear in mind, Trump even had a special safe for this. You got this guy, Joe Biden. He's got some 1,850 boxes of classified stuff. He's got a lot of it in his garage where he keeps his Corvette. And a lot of this he had when he was a United States senator and didn't have any declassification authority whatsoever. But, of course, they're not doing a damn thing about this guy or many other miscreants because they're Democrats. They're going to protect him. But the guy they fear, Donald Trump, they're going all out. Continuing about the indictment. It carries unmistakably grave legal consequences, including the possibility of prison if Trump convicted. The indictment accuses Trump of having improperly removed scores of boxes from the White House to take them to Mar-a-Lago, many of them containing classified information. But it also has enormous political implications, potentially upending a Republican presidential primary that Trump has been dominating and testing anew the willingness of GOP voters and party leaders to stick with a now twice indicted candidate who could face still more charges. Well, take a big sigh of relief. His poll numbers have gone up. And it sets a stage for a sensational trial centered on claims a man once entrusted to safeguard the nation's most closely guarded secrets willfully and illegally hoarded sensitive national security information after leaving office. This is such propagandistic bullshit. The case adds to deepening legal jeopardy for Trump, who has already been indicted in New York and faces additional investigations in Washington and Atlanta that also could lead to criminal charges. They too are, as the expression has it, trumped up. But among the various investigations he has faced, legal experts, as well as Trump's own aides, have long seen the Mar-a-Lago probe as the most perilous threat and the one most ripe for prosecution. Campaign aides have been bracing for the fallout since Trump's attorney were notified that he was a target of the investigation, assuming it was not a matter of if charges would be brought, but when. Turns out, Trump can run for president while being indicted. Here is the explanation why. Former President Donald Trump can still continue to run for president in 2024 after announcing he's been federally indicted on charges related to whether he mishandled classified records, according to legal experts. After Trump was charged by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office earlier this year in a separate case, some noted that the U.S. Constitution only requires a candidate be a natural-born citizen, at least 35 years old, and be a resident of the United States for at least 14 years. Retired Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz told the Epoch Times, and I recommend the Epoch Times, wonderful, 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 in March, that Trump could run and serve from prison if he were convicted and sentences. Get that. The only way he could be disqualified is they can prove that he actually fought in the Civil War for the South. If he fought in the Civil War for the South, he's out. Dershowitz told the Epoch Times, but other than that, if he's 35 years old, was born in America, didn't fight in the Civil War for the South, he's eligible and can run from office. Dershowitz was referring to the 14th Amendment Disqualification Clause that targeted former Confederate soldiers who fought in the Civil War in the mid-19th century. No person shall be a senator, representative in Congress, or elector of president or vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state, who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress, or as an officer of the United States, or as a member of any state legislature, or as an executive or judicial officer of any state, the clause reads in part, to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. Remember, with regard to January 6th, they're trying to spin that as an insurrection and implicate Trump. I mean, look, they are just going all out to try to get rid of this guy. And by the way, I have figured out why January 6th is so important to the Democrats. Profoundly disturbing. They wanted to give great currency to the notion of domestic terrorists. And look at the groups. You got Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, members of the militia, the FBI agents, and their agents provocateur, like Ray Apes, for example. They're not being charged with anything. They're not being regarded as domestic terrorists. But let me tell you why that category is so bloody important. And now, if you are paying attention, you'll see Trump supporters, conservatives, moms who are protesting, transgender drag shows, all this happy horse shit in elementary schools and the like. They're all being subsumed under this broad rhetoric of domestic terrorists. Now, this is laying down a legal predicate for horrific actions in the future. I tell you right now, it's taken me a while to sort out what was going on here. One of the effects of bringing all these migrants in, you know, and the government's going to arm them and all that. So we've actually got an invading army coming in. There's going to be a state of civil war. At some point, it's going to break out. And the Biden admin is going to declare martial law. I see this with utter clarity. Once they declare martial law, domestic terrorists are eligible to be summarily tried and executed on the spot. Domestic terrorists are going to be subject to summary trial and execution on the spot. So what they're doing with the January 6th and all this domestic terrorist happy horseshit is to lay down a legal predicate to justify rounding up those categories that are now in the process of designating as domestic terrorists. Think about it. What would a tyrannical administration most fear? Militias. Were armed and trained and prepared to come to the defense of the nation. Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, MAGA supporters, Donald Trump voters, conservatives, moms who are resisting, all domestic terrorists subject to trial, summary execution, summary trial and execution. Stand by. Hello. Just to make sure that wasn't someone telling me that I'm not on the air. Just, hey. John, I'll call you back. I'm on the air. Everyone needs to go to my Twitter account, at Jim Fetzer, or just go online and watch the film The Checkist, 1991. The Checkist, C-H-E-C-K-I-S-T, The Checkist. Or maybe C-H-E-K-I-S-T, The Checkist. This is what happened in the Soviet Union post the Bolshevik Revolution. Domestic terrorists were lined up and shot against a wall. No trial, no jury, no due process. That was it. They just had a list. They read off the names. They declared them to be convicted. They lined them up against a wall and they shot them. You think it couldn't happen here? You think the United States couldn't have gone woke with an army? You think the United States couldn't have cooperated in mass inoculation with a deadly bioweapon? You think the United States couldn't open its borders to allow floods of refugees to come across the border? You think that couldn't happen here? It can happen here. They're hoping you don't notice, or it's the old frog boiling, just elevating the temperature a degree at a time, and before you know it's cooked. That's us. Before we know it, we're going to be cooked. I'm telling you, that's what the hell is going on. This is a communist-style revolution taking place in the United States of America, and they intend to murder, to execute, maybe 100 million Americans who've supported Donald Trump. That's pretty close to the number. Under the guise of declaring them to be domestic terrorists. This is the plan. God. Think I'm not horrified to be telling you these things? The Czechists, 1991. Watch it. It's about an hour and a half. Watch the whole bloody thing. This is what they are planning for the USA. This is why January 6th was so important. I mean, you had the liars, the phonies, the shills. You had the Adam Schiffs and the Eric Swalwells and the Nancy Pelosi's. They were editing video. They were cutting. They fabricating evidence. Line, line, line. Phony, phony, phony. Draconian punishment. Declaring people to be domestic terrorists for exercising the rights under the First Amendment of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition your governments for grievances, for exercising constitutional rights. That's what they're doing. Mark my words, under martial law, they're going to summarily try and execute. I'm telling you, 100 million Americans, I am convinced, the Czechist, 1991, you'll never feel the same about what's going on again because you'll see so clearly what's taking place. There is just no doubt about it. It is happening, and it is happening now. Another law professor, Richard Hansen of University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, both my parents graduated from UCLA, told CNN Friday, there's nothing that stops Trump from running while indicted or even convicted. Legally speaking, there is nothing to bar a former president from being indicted for a state crime, running for office, even convicted, said Jessica Levinson, founding director of Loyola Law School Public Service Institute. It really just becomes an issue of practically how could you run the country behind bars if it ever came to something like that. Thursday, Trump announced via social media he was being indicted on charges of allegedly mishandling classified documents, although the indictment had at that point not been unsealed. The DOJ did not immediately publicly confirm the indictment. The charges were not then publicly filed, but have now been. Trump's lawyer, James Trustee, said Thursday, the indictment includes charges of willful retention of national defense information, obstruction of justice, false statements, and conspiracy. Trump has categorically denied the charges and said it's an attempt to interfere in the 2024 election. What could be more obvious? Trump on Truth Social called it a dark day for the United States of America. In a video, he said, I'm innocent. Well, prove that very, very soundly and hopefully very quickly. Trump said he's been summoned to appear in court Tuesday. That would be tomorrow in Miami. 3 p.m. Eastern, as I get it. It wasn't immediately clear if he planned to make the appearance in person and what the procedures would look like. When Trump was charged by the Manhattan DA in New York with falsifying business records, he surrendered to authorities where he was booked behind closed doors and appeared in the courtroom. Say with his lawyers at the defense table, in that case, he pled not guilty, while some observers, like Dershowitz, noted the grand jury pool was likely skewed politically left. One of the good things, by the way, about the Trump trial is going to be in Florida, not skewed politically left. And the judge is a Trump-appointed attorney, a woman who appears to be very sensible and is not going to put up with a lot of happy horse shit. The charges came after federal officials raided Mar-a-Lago in August of 2022 and seized more than 33 boxes and containers, towing 11,000 documents from a storage room in an office, including 100 classified docs. That really means documents that are stamped classified. Remember, you can have a document stamped classified that's been declassified, and Trump, as president, had the ultimate declassification authority. Just one more reason this is all a manifest legal absurdity. In all, probably 300 docs with classification markings, I reiterate, which does not mean they are not already declassified, have been recovered since he left office in January 2021. Weeks after, Attorney General Merrick Garland picked Jack Smith to lead investigation into the present classified docs at Trump Florida State, as well as key aspects of a separate probe involving the January 6th breach at the Capitol. That's where things stand. This Jack Smith turns out to have a very checkered record. He has again and again been brought to account in courts of appeal and even the U.S. Supreme Court for expanding the boundaries of statutes beyond their proper applicability and had his cases rejected.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
It's got to be very frustrating for Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, the rest of the assorted lot of misfits who are pulling strings, pushing buttons, and manipulating political events in the United States that Trump endures. I mean, think about it. We had Russiagate. We've had two impeachments. The raid on Mar-a-Lago, of course, which is now culminating here, coming to fruition. What else? Oh, yeah. We had the absurd rape trial in New York where the woman couldn't even remember what year she had been raped. As though any woman who actually were subjected to a rape wouldn't remember not just the year, the month, the week, the day, the minute it happened. I mean, is it just so absurd? And yet Trump survives and thrives. Get this, CBS poll. Trump's GOP primary lead grows to 38 points after indictment. Oh, God, this is too delicious for words. Florida GOP Governor Ron DeSantis' gain in the race did not cut into former Trump's President Donald Trump's support, and Special Counsel Jack Smith's indictment Thursday has only furthered his lead on the field. According to the latest CBS News poll released Sunday, Trump has stretched his lead in the poll to 38 points over DeSantis and at least 57 points on the rest of the field. Also, when likely GOP primary voters were asked which candidates they would consider, Trump received an overwhelming support of 75%. CBS News poll results among likely GOP primary voters. Trump, 61%. That's plus 38 over number two, DeSantis, 23. And 57% over number three, Tim Scott, at 4%. Mike Pence also got 4%. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, 3%. Interpreter Vivek Ramaswamy, 1%. Now, this guy Ramaswamy may be smarter than all the rest intellectually. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, who's a POS, 1%. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, 1%. Conservative pundit Larry Elder, 1%. Larry Elder ought to have won out there in California, but they rigged their election just as much as everywhere else. Former New Jersey governor, another POS, Chris Christie, 1%. The poll, taken after news of Trump's indictment Thursday, shows that his base is sticking strong with him, and he's picking up some support from others. Trump's messaging is catching on with likely Republican primary voters, too. Just 26% want their nominee to be someone unlike Trump. While an overwhelming majority of 74% want their nominee to be like Trump. Well, you can't be more like Trump than Trump. Trump is at least being considered by three-quarters of the primary electorate. It's always a critical measure at this early stage of a race, where voters know they have time to weigh the merits of multiple candidates so far from the actual vote, according to CBS News poll analysis. Respondents here were free to consider as many or as few as they'd liked, and most Republican voters are still considering more than one candidate. Here's the result. Were they considering Trump? 75%, DeSantis 51%, Scott 21%, Pence 16%, Haley 15%, Ramaswamy 13%, Elder 9%, Christie 7%, Hutchinson 6%, Burgum 4%. 10 different candidates. The CBS News YouGov survey was conducted among 2,480 U.S. adult residents June 7th to 10th. 586 of whom are likely GOP primary voters. The margin of error is plus or minus 2.7. 5.5 are likely GOP. Meanwhile, Judicial Watch. Indictment won't survive scrutiny. A judge should throw out a federal indictment against former President Donald Trump. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton tweeted Friday. Twinton, let me say, is a very formidable guy. I'm so impressed with Judicial Watch. This is excellent. He knows what he's talking about. Fitton said he carefully reviewed the indictment of Trump by his political opponents at the Biden Justice Department and concluded that if justice prevails, this indictment won't survive scrutiny by honest constitutional judges and will be thrown out. The Judicial Watch president, who noted that his organization has almost three decades' experience in litigating federal and presidential record issues, wrote that the indictment dishonestly ignores the U.S. Constitution, the Presidential Records Act, legal precedent, and the DOJ archived previous position that White House records a president takes with him when he leaves the White House are presumptively personal and not subject to review by partisan Biden appointees at DOJ or archives. Let me repeat this. The indictment, this is from the Judicial Watch, an organization with almost three decades experience in litigating federal and presidential record issues, wrote the indictment, quote, dishonestly ignores the U.S. Constitution, the Presidential Records Act, legal precedent, and the DOJ archive previous position that White House records a president takes with him when he leaves the White House are presumptively personal and not subject to review, and not subject to review bipartisan Biden appointees at DOJ or archives, and that would include this Jack guy. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And as I say, this is a guy who has repeatedly been rebuked by having his cases overturned, even by the Supreme Court, for going beyond what the statutes allow. That appears to be exactly what's going on here. Tom Fitton adds, under the Constitution, federal law, and precedent, none of the documents are currently classified or national defense information that restricts Trump's handling of them. Fitton emphasized all the documents are Trump personal records and, frankly, should be returned to him. Very, very good. Now, there's something called who, what, why, and I've been suspicious of this website for a very long time. More confirmation here. Trump's indictment. The top five craziest reactions. The top five craziest reactions. From on-screen meltdowns and calls for war to questionable legal advice and cryptic, as well as not so cryptic, incitements of violence. The reaction of leading right-wing figures to the news of Donald Trump's indictment was everything you'd expect. Insane, unhinged, hilarious, frightening, and ill-informed. Well, think about that. What you just heard from Tom Fitton could not be better informed. Three decades of litigation over presidential records. I mean, the indictment would be totally ill-founded. In violation of the Constitution, the Presidential Records Act, legal precedent, and even declarations from the National Archives itself. But who, what, why declares all the reactions from leading right-wing figures, of course, are qualifying. Is Tom Fitton a right-wing figure? Probably in the eyes of the left, because he's a constitutionalist. He knows what it means to follow the law. Everything you'd expect, insane, unhinged, hilarious, frightening, ill-informed. To illustrate how wild things got at Fox and social media, we compiled a list of the top five craziest responses. Let's get started with Fox host Mark Levin, who absolutely lost it on Sean Hannity's show. During an impressive seven-minute rant, he made the case it was the well-documented indictment of Trump that was the insurrection, not the actual insurrection from January 8th. Well, I have a piece here by Mark Levin. It is longer than 8 minutes, but it's certainly well-reasoned, even if emphatic. And remember, even St. Thomas Aquinas said to not become angry in the face of injustice is itself an immoral response. Anger in the face of injustice is proper, is moral, is right. So when you listen to his anger, understand it's righteous.
President Trump is 76 years old. If the Department of Justice gets his way, he will die in federal prison. Just by one of these counts, conspiracy to obstruct justice, which has a 20-year maximum sentence. This is a disgusting, disgusting mark on American history for the future to come by these bandits in the White House, by the Democrat Party that don't play fair anymore. They don't want to just win elections. They want to take control of this country. They want one-party rule. And they have used the Department of Justice and the FBI to get what they want. Merrick Garland is a mob lawyer. That's what he is. Jack Reed is a rogue Soviet-style prosecutor. The Presidential Records Act is not a criminal statute, and it was never intended to be. The Espionage Act of 1917 was passed under Woodrow Wilson, another corrupt president. Woodrow Wilson used it to go after his adversaries, and they imprisoned 2,000 people. So I suppose over there at the Department of Injustice, and this clown prosecutor spent a lot of time at The Hague, they probably figured these laws could be used to try and entrap Trump. All these obstruction issues that they claim, where the former attorney general, Bill Barr, comes up here and bloviates about it, and all the formers coming on talking about obstruction. They have them on obstruction. There'd be no obstruction issue of any kind, not even in anybody's imagination, had they not criminalized this case. This is a document case. A document case where a president of the United States or a former president faces 100 years in federal prison. Is this some kind of a sick joke on the American people? Joe Biden says he never told them what to do. Joe Biden had to sign off on that's becoming a National Archives case to have it go to the Department of Justice. Who does he think he's lying to? The American people? This is a guy that's got documents from the time he was in the U.S. Senate, for God's sakes, in his garage. I don't want to hear from the legal analysts the technicalities about false statements and obstruction. This should never have been a criminal case. Willful retention of documents. Well, what's the unwillful retention of documents mean? They're throwing all these process crimes and all these crimes to grow out of the criminal investigation against Trump. What did he do with the documents? Did he sell them to the enemy? No. That's why we have an Espionage Act, not the trick of a president. What did he do? Did he burn them all? No. The government has all the documents back. So there is no violation of the Presidential Records Act at this point. But they throw the book at him. They go after his attorneys. They make them testify. They're attorneys under the crime fraud exception to attorney-client privilege. That means he didn't have due process. His own lawyers were being subjected to interrogations. And they had hundreds of in-person people testifying in front of grand juries. Thousands of collections of documents. For what? For what? And they indict him today? They indict him today in Miami? All of a sudden it's in Miami? All of a sudden we have a Florida grand jury? Because the moron in Washington figured out that there are venue issues that could lose him his case. This guy, this prosecutor, he lost 8-0 in the U.S. Supreme Court when they overturned the conviction of the former governor of Virginia because this jerk took a statute and expanded it. A jury in North Carolina wouldn't convict John Edwards because this jerk took a campaign statute and expanded it. And he's taking this case, and he's undermining the country, and he's interfering with a presidential election. And let me be clear, as Jared said, the Attorney General of the United States made this final decision. This is not the independent counsel statute. This is a special counsel appointed by the Attorney General under a Department of Justice regulation. This Attorney General, who pretends he's Helen Keller, he made the decision to indict the former president, and they made the decision to interfere in this election. You want to talk about an insurrection? This is an insurrection, and that's exactly what's going on here. Let me go on. Joe Biden is the crookedest crook that's ever been in the Oval Office. Everywhere we look, there's a predicate for a special counsel. They won't appoint a special counsel, even though it's compelled under the law in which they appointed this special counsel. And you're not supposed to appoint a special counsel against your political opponent. You're supposed to appoint one in the case of Biden. 20 shell corporations, $10 million coming from the communist Chinese military, spread out among the family. No businesses to support this. Endless meetings with Biden's, with Hunter Biden's business partners. Bob Alinsky, who ties Joe Biden to the crimes. Mr. Big, Mr. 10%. And what does Biden say? Well, then where's the money? He's asking us, come and catch me if you can. The idea that this man isn't under a criminal investigation and that they criminalized that damn document case to go after Donald Trump is sickening. And I would say this to our fellow Americans. Don't be bamboozled by these cable channels and these fools who come on and tell you, well, he's not above the law. Are you kidding me? Democrat Attorney General in New York, Democrat prosecutor in Manhattan, Democrat prosecutor in Atlanta, Democrat Attorney General in Washington, D.C. What do you mean he's not above the law? There is no law. What's going on here is a disgusting disgrace. It is war on Trump. It is war on the Republican Party, and it is a war on the Republic. The radical left is doing what the radical left does while they cover up for Biden the way they covered up for Hillary. If Donald Trump is to be charged like this, Hillary Clinton should have been charged with 10,000 counts of obstruction because that's how many emails she destroyed. And 5 counts of destroying cell phones, because that's how many cell phones they destroyed. I'm done, and I'm sick of it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Mark, you did a good thing there. Levin wasn't done. What's going on here is a disgusting disgrace, and it is a war on Trump, a war on the Republican Party, and a war on the Republic. Levin was so worked up at times. One had to be concerned that he would suffer an aneurysm and become the first victim of that war. They sometimes say that about me. People are worried I'm going to have a stroke. Well, ain't going to happen. I am in a situation of having to undergo heart surgery, however, on the 22nd. But I have great confidence in my surgeon. I feel good about it. It's the right thing to do. Fortunately, it says of Mark Levin, he lived to fight another day. So too, let it be for me. Speaking of war, Republican lawmakers offered plenty of bellicose rhetoric. Take Representative Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona, who subtly tweeted, "We have now reached a war phase, eye for an eye." However, Biggs left us guessing which Democrat he was in charge with keeping highly classified information in a chandeliered bathroom. Chandeliered bathroom? I repeat, Trump had a special safe. It was even reviewed by the FBI and the National Archives to keep these documents. Equally cryptic, but much more disconcerting, was a tweet from Representative Clay Higgins of Louisiana. Here's his tweet. President Trump said he had been summoned to appear at the federal courthouse in Miami on Tuesday at 3 p.m. This is a perimeter probe from the oppressors. Hold, R. POTUS has this. R. POTUS. Buckle up. 1/50,000 know your bridges. Rock steady calm, that is all. In case you're wondering, R. POTUS means real President of the United States. And the rest is just some weird military jargon. It's unclear whether Higgins simply wants a sound top or in himself an incitement of violence chart. Maybe his ultimate goal is to become bunkmates with Trump. This is who, how, why? I mean, I'm telling you, Who, how, who, what, why? I mean, look, if you want to see a nice form of discrediting yourself as though you were an objective reporter, here it's taking place with who, what, why, right before your very ears. It's tough to imagine what exactly went through his mind when he composed this masterpiece. But anything other than I probably shouldn't be in Congress would be deeply troubling. But it wasn't just Republican men who were openly threatening violence. Last year's Arizona gubernatorial candidate, and in her mind, Arizona Governor Carrie Lake, and we all know the outrageous way in which the election was stolen from her, especially in Maricopa County, for the key precincts that were heavy with Republican voters supporting her, had malfunctions of their machines and all kinds of other underhanded. I mean, imagine if Carrie Lake were governor of Arizona, what that would do to the border policy. She wouldn't let a single illegal trickle over the border into Arizona, I guarantee. Arizona non-governor Carrie Lake sat at a rally. She had a message for Attorney General Merrick Garland, Special Counsel Jack Smith, President Joe Biden, and the fake news media. Quote. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution. Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We left off with Carrie Lake. If you want to get to President Trump, you're going to have to go through me. And you're going to have to go through 75 million Americans just like me, Lake told a fired-up crowd. And I'm going to tell you, most of us are card-carrying members of the NRA. That's not a threat. That's a public service announcement. I think it's very appropriate she made that observation. Remember what I'm telling you about the checkist. When in your lifetime have you heard any discussion of a category of domestic terrorist prior to January 6th? I mean, I've been around for a few years more than most. And I'll just tell you, this was a total novelty. So why introduce a category of domestic terrorists? You watch the checklist. You watch the checklist. You're going to be floored. Believe me, the message will come through. Under martial law, domestic terrorists can be treated, just like enemy combatants who aren't formally affiliated with the military, they can be subject to summary execution. That's what they want to do with the Trump supporters, with MAGA, with conservatives, with militia members, with NRA members. That's why they want to take our guns. They want to take our guns so we cannot resist when they come to kill us. And listen, I'm telling you, you got to get a grip on all of this. They're just going to line us up and shoot us in the back of the head. That's a plan. This is a lawless government. The United States has never been in a situation where we had a government that was actually operating deliberately to destroy the United States. In fact, the latest reports I've heard, and I had a friend call today just talking about how Department of Defense was involved in the vax. The Department of Defense involved in the vax. Wow. And you know, when you go woke, I mean, you know, what use is a woke military with pink tanks and lipstick? Young men who have made up the core of the American military in the past have come from the South. They're very patriotic. They are red-blooded heterosexual men. The idea of having to share showers with trannies? Just think. Under communism, everyone is supposed to be treated exactly the same, so they even had women taking showers with men in the military. This is grossly offensive. This is why they want to emphasize tranny rights. They want everyone to be on a par. And it's not just because Michelle is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. I do think that's a component. But if you want to destroy a culture, go after its mores, corrupt its kids. In a couple of generations, you're going to have a completely perverted society. Do you know that the White House has even run a gay pride flag on the White House at the same level as the United States flag? That's a violation of the law. It's a violation of the law. There are codes and laws and regulations about the display of the American flag. And the Biden White House, right there at the White House itself, are in gross violation. Gross violation. They don't have any respect for law. They have nothing but contempt for law. I was appalled when W said that the Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper. Well, that's the way the Biden admin is treating it. And, of course, it's not really the Biden admin. I mean, Obama really is in there pitching. Obama, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, George Soros, if he's still alive, if not his son. The Rothschilds in the background. Stunning stuff, all stunning stuff. But Republicans had more to offer than declarations of war and threats that are actually public service announcements. Noted legal scholar and former representative Jason Chaffetz went on Fox to offer a brilliant theory that Trump should totally try out at trial. ACYN tweet, Chaffetz. These are documents generated by computers. There's an argument to be made they already have these documents. They are run off of a printer. The president has the same security clearance as he did as president. He continues to have that clearance. Chaffetz, widely considered to be one of the great legal minds in U.S. history, suggested the former president should not be charged for hoarding top-secret files because the documents were copies. Because everyone knows that once you make a copy of nuclear launch codes or a list of covert operatives and take them home, that's totally legal. I mean, is this a joke? Is this a left-wing version of the Babylon Bee? I mean, give me a break! Trump's entitled to have the documents. Here's the other side of the coin report. FBI doc says Burisma exec paid Biden $5 million in alleged bribery scheme. An executive of the Ukrainian natural gas for Burisma Holdings paid then Vice President Joe Biden $5 million as part of a bribery scheme. According to the FBI document that's part of the House Oversight Committee probe into the incidents, Fox reported Thursday. Biden's son Hunter was a member of the Burisma board. The unclassified FBI FD-2023 document has been central to a whistleblower probe that Republicans on the House Oversight Committee have been trying to get turned over to the committee. Fox reported it did not see the document, but was briefed by sources who have. The document is dated June 30, 2020, based on an FBI interview with what the agency describes as a highly credible confidential source. The source talked about meetings he or she had with a top executive of Burisma over several years, starting in 2015, according to Fox. The form does not indicate the information is true, but the informant is one of the higher paid informants and has worked with the agency since 2010. According to the document, the Burisma executive as the FBI source was a business professional for advice on getting U.S. oil rights and becoming involved with an American oil company in 2015 and 16. The confidential source asked the executive why he or she did not just ask Hunter Biden's advice, since he was on the Burisma board. And the Burisma exec reportedly answered HUD and Biden was dumb. The Burisma official then reportedly told the FBI source the company had to pay the Bidens because the company was being investigated by Ukrainian prosecutor Viktor Shokin and that it would be difficult to enter the American market while under that probe. The FBI source then said he or she suggested the Burisma executive believed by Fox source to be extremely high level, pay the Bidens $50,000 each. The Burisma exec replied the figure was not $50,000, but $5 million. $5 million for one Biden, $5 million for the other Biden, the Burisma executive told the FBI source, according to a Fox source who has seen the document. One source described the payments as a retainer for the Bidens to deal with several issues, including the Shokin probe. Another source called it a pay-to-play scheme, according to Fox. The sources told Fox, the FBI source believes that payments to Joe and Hunter were the result of his or her conversation with a Burisma official. The Burisma exec reportedly told the FBI source that he paid the Bidens through so many different bank accounts that anyone investigating the case wouldn't be able to unravel this for at least 10 years. For at least 10 years. And you heard Mark Levin alluding to this. Where's the money, said Biden said when a claim is made that he's been bribed. Where's the money? Well, here you got the explanation why he'd say something as arrogant as that. The Burisma exec reportedly told the FBI source he paid the Bidens through so many different bank accounts. Anyone investigating the case wouldn't be able to unravel this for at least 10 years. Wow. Meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene is dumbfounded that her GOP colleagues don't take action. A House Republican firebrand is irked that many House GOP colleagues are a wet blanket when it comes to impeaching President Joe Biden over allegations contained in an FBI document. Last week, FBI Director Christopher Wray, under threat of being found in contempt of Congress, shared with members of the House Oversight Committee a document that made allegations against President Joe Biden from the time he was vice president in the Obama administration. Fox News reported sources familiar with the document, known as an FD-1023 form, said it claims Biden was paid $5 million by an executive of the Ukrainian energy company Burisma Holdings. That's the Ukrainian company that paid Biden's son Hunter at least $50,000 a month from 2014 to 2019 to serve on its board of directors, though he had no background in the energy field or knowledge of the Ukrainian language. Based on what she saw, Green called for the president to be first impeached and then jailed. Her colleagues, she said, do not seem interested, according to Breitbart. Here's a Marjorie Taylor Greene tweet. Burisma saw hiring Hunter Biden is a way to make their problems vanish. When Hunter and the big guy each got $5 million, then Hunter and the big guy each got $5 million in their bank accounts. When any high-ranking U.S. official receives a bribe, our Constitution spells out very clearly they must be impeached. Bribery is specifically cited in the Constitution, by the way. Asked what might spark interest, she replied, To be honest with you, I don't know. That's the part that literally leaves me dumbfounded. I've already been texting a ton of my colleagues. We have to impeach Biden. We have to impeach Biden, she said. Green said the question of impeachment boils down to a willingness on the part of the House of Representatives to show the courage of their convictions. Here's another tweet from MTG. Joe Biden shouldn't just be impeached. He should be handcuffed and hauled out of the White House for his crimes. It's no coincidence that the Department of Injustice came out with phony charges against President Trump the same day GOP oversight reviews damning evidence against Joe Biden. We have to impeach him in the House to show and prove to our voters that we're willing to do these things, are willing to bring accountability. If we don't do it, then why do they want to vote for us, she said, which is a very reasonable question. Green said, based on what was disclosed Thursday, subpoenas have been sent to four banks to gather information about the Biden family finances, and the oversight committee will investigate further allegations made to the FBI in connection with the allegations against Biden. An FBI 1023 report contains unverified information given to the FBI by a confidential source. According to Fox, the 2020 report summarizes conversations the informant had with a Burisma executive as far back as 2015. The company would dole out $5 million for one Biden, $5 million for the other. The Burisma executive told a confidential human source, according to Fox. According to the source, the Burisma executive said the payments were made through so many different bank accounts, anyone investigating could not unravel this for at least 10 years. The Burisma exec said he didn't pay the big guy directly. The source reported, where big guy has been interpreted to mean Joe Biden. Here's another tweet from Marjorie. President Trump was impeached over a perfect phone call asking questions about a Ukrainian prosecutor who was fired at the direction of Vice President Biden, all while the FBI had information that Joe Biden and his son were paid $5 million to get this prosecutor fired in political bribery. Thursday, Green said the panel will keep digging. We are going to continue following this investigation. We're going to continue to look into every single thing we can uncover, Green said. We need the FBI to keep cooperating with us. That's extremely important. And I have very high expectations of Christopher Wray that he will do the right thing and continue showing us the information we're asking for. Meanwhile, in wokeness tweets, a nice summary overview. Hunter Biden, zero indictments. The big guy, zero indictments. The Clintons, zero indictments. Epstein clients, zero indictments. Anthony Fauci, zero indictments. DC insider trading, traders, DC inside traders, zero indictment. Iraq war criminals, zero indictment. COVID criminals, zero indictments. Meanwhile, and this is just ludicrous, NATO members may send troops to Ukraine, warns former alliance chief. This is from RSN.org. That's reader-supported news, the left wing. But mind you, you can find important reports from various sources, and it's a fallacy to simply take for granted that because of the source, information is false, wrong, misleading, even though you can have with high reliability if it comes from the White House or the FBI or other government agencies. There's a high probability that's the case. It's not, however, the case that necessarily, without exception, as they say, even a broken clock is right twice a day. NATO members may send troops to Ukraine, warns former alliance chief. Security guarantees and membership path needed at NATO summit to avoid escalation, says Anders Rasmussen. Now, remember, in relation to the 2014 coup in Ukraine, which deposed the Russia-friendly president and installed a Western puppet, of whom the present President Zelensky is a successor, was engineered by the U.S. Department of State. Victoria Nuland had a key role there, just as she affirmed that if there were an incursion into Ukraine by Russia, that Nord Stream would be taken out. Just as Joe Biden declared that if there's a Russian incursion, Nord Stream will be no more. Seymour Hersh revealing how it was done with Navy divers. Now they want to pretend Ukraine actually planned the event. It was the United States all the way. And ever since then, in the wake of the agreements with Russia that would lead to a peace plan, NATO fortified Ukraine, built up its military armament. Ukraine has been a heavily armed nation in anticipation of the Russian incursion, which is one more reason it's proven to take longer and harder than originally anticipated, even by the West. A group of NATO countries may be willing to put troops on the ground in Ukraine if member states, including the U.S., do not provide tangible security guarantees to Kiev. At the alliance's summit in Vilnius, of the former NATO Secretary General Anders Rasmussen has said. Now get this, and I was rather floored that in the Wisconsin State Journal today, there was a big article about why Ukraine deserved to be a member of NATO. My God, what idiocy. That's the primary reason Russia entered NATO, was because of threats that NATO would become a member of, that Ukraine would become a member of NATO, and now people are still proposing moving forward? Rasmussen, who's been acting as official advisor to the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Ukraine's place in a future European security architecture, has been touring Europe and Washington to gauge the shifting mood before the critical summit starts on 11 July. He also warned that even if a group of states did provide Ukraine with security guarantees, others would not allow the issue of Ukraine's future NATO membership to be kept off the agenda at Vilnius. He made his remarks as the current NATO chief, Jens Stoltenberg, said the issue of security guarantees would be on the agenda at Vilnius, but added that NATO, under Article 5 of the Washington Treaty, only provides full-fledged security guarantees to full members. Indeed, everyone knows. The U.S. ambassador to NATO, Julianne Smith, said We are looking at an array of options that signal that Ukraine is advancing in its relation with NATO. Rasmussen said, if NATO cannot agree on a clear path forward for Ukraine, there is a clear possibility some countries individually might take action. A kind of ersatz NATO. We shall return.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We Well, I'm delighted that Mitchell is here with me now. He had conflict earlier, and he could not therefore announce call-ins, but because Mitchell is now here, I am glad to take your calls at 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, we know that Poland is very engaged in providing concrete assistance to Ukraine. Remember all those Polish jokes, or maybe you didn't hear them when you were growing up. If you wanted confirmation, here it is. I wouldn't exclude the possibility Poland would engage even stronger in this context on a national basis and be followed by the Baltic states, maybe including the possibility of troops on the ground. I think the Poles would seriously consider going in and assembling a coalition of the willing if Ukraine doesn't get anything in Vilnius. We shouldn't underestimate the Polish feeling. The Poles feel that for too long, Western Europe did not listen to their warnings against the true Russian mentality. He said it would be entirely legal for Ukraine to seek such military assistance. His striking suggestion that some states may regard the stakes as momentous enough to use their own troops could be seen as a warning to countries that the risks, including the threat to NATO unity, do not only come if Ukraine is provided a quick path to NATO membership or powerful security guarantees. Germany remains wary of going too far, fearing it would provoke Russia. I just can't believe the stupidity of all this. I mean, Russia has demonstrated its power is vast, and it's only used a token of its military equipment or its forces. This has all been done by and large with a Wagner group, a mercenary army. Regular Russian military is now becoming involved, and they are slaughtering the Ukrainians. So now the Poles want to step up to be slaughtered as well. Mitchell, you just posted a note about Poland saying they're eager to do this.
Yes. Yeah, Jim.
Go ahead. Fill us in.
Yeah, Jim, it's already been reported that Poland has said if they don't feel that they get enough crap for Ukraine, that they are going and they're preparing to send in their own troops and some kind of expeditionary force of the stupid into Ukraine. Okay.
That's right. A force of the stupid. I mean, this is just so dumb. I cannot believe it.
No, it's amazing. The thing is, there is no off ramp for the Ukraine war. So this thing is destined and will escalate into nuclear war. The United States and the UK are running an active hot war against Russia, just using Ukraine as the battering ram. Now, there is something that I see that I've talked about that I don't really hear anybody else talking about or yourself, and that is the attempted color revolution by the United States of America in Kazakhstan in January of 2022.
Tell us more. Mitchell, elaborate.
Well, Jim, that's the last straw. If you think about it, the United States has been in alleged, and I always use finger quotes, alleged diplomatic negotiations with Russia for about the last, it was about 8 months. It was allegedly started in early of 2022. The United States had a diplomat that was negotiating with the Russians because the Russians said, look, this is not working. You are continually moving east. This has to stop or the shit will hit the fan. Well, the Biden administration struck at Kazakhstan in the middle of those negotiations. And even after, in the fall of 2021, the Russians had announced that they believed that they had a memorandum of understanding and, you know, moving towards an agreement with the Americans about the push east. And, well, it was less than 30 days after that supposed agreement by the United States of America about moving east to the Russian frontier. And then they attempted to overthrow Kazakhstan with the same group of people that had been trained by USAID and CIA to overthrow Ukraine. That was, as I have said before, that was the very last straw. And what Putin realized then, and nobody else in the world will talk about it, is that there is no negotiating with America. That they do not negotiate. They have their program. They're running the war. And there is no diplomatic solution to what is going on in Ukraine, because the simple fact is the Americans attacked the Russians through another color revolution in the middle of this negotiation. As I have said, since that point forward, there has been a distinct and deliberate execution of a policy by the Russians, a hardline policy that this shit is not going to continue. The Biden administration and the rest of the neocons and neoliberals that are in control of the U.S. government have abandoned the mutual assured destruction. And now they're going to dare to use it, mother effer. They're daring Russia to essentially use their nuclear weapons. And the West will push until that happens. And then they will blame Russia. But that's how I see it. Brian is on the line, too, by the way, waiting.
Well, go ahead. Bring Brian in. Those are great points. And, of course, after the Minsk agreement, you know, using it merely as a cover, which even Angela Merkel acknowledged, Russia cannot have any confidence in the West. We have lost our credibility. And that means it's all reduced to brute force.
Yes.
And there's no more rule of law, no more diplomacy. And this is why I've concluded Russia has to take all of Ukraine. There's just no room for leaving it open. There'd be constant kinds of warfare, guerrilla operations and all that.
Oh, that will never
Russia
stop.
Russia just has to seize all of Ukraine and be done with it, Mitchell.
Well,
Brian. Yeah, go ahead. Then, Brian, go ahead. You first, Mitchell.
Well, Jim, I don't see, how should I say it? The tactical decisions and the stuff the way it is now in Ukraine, I really can't see a conventional war taking out Ukraine. It will have to be battlefield nuclear weapons to break the not only the front lines, but the supply lines and the command and control centers in Ukraine. Now, any nuclear exchange is going to start an escalation. So, yeah, it's not.
Russia's already said, Mitchell, that if nukes are introduced, they're going to just give massive retaliation. So I don't think that's viable. I think that Russia, which is now bringing in Russian army forces and decimating Ukraine. I mean, you're not hearing about it in U.S. papers because the Western media is all propaganda all the time. 24/7. Russia can dominate Ukraine conventionally, and it would be a catastrophic blunder for the West to seek to resort to tactical nukes. Russia's not going to do it, but once we do, it's all over, I'm convinced. Brian, your thoughts. Brian.
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, I discovered more information. You remember Friday, I talked about how Benjamin Fulford had a post where that Prosigin, who is the head of Wagner Group,
sure,
was actually deep state, that he was Shabbat, and that they were funneling the Ukrainian Zelensky was Shabbat, and they were funneling in these poor Ukrainians that they press ganged off the streets and then giving the coordinates of where their bivouacs were to the Wagner Group so they could destroy them, and their life expectancy was 4 hours. Well, I knew that would, that's his weekly call-in show, and I knew that that would generate a lot of calls, so people wanted some clarification. And he said, well, that all showed up in the Washington Post very briefly, and then it was taken out. So he had sources in the SBU, which is the Secret Service for Russia, and he called his source there, and they said, yeah, that's true. But what wasn't being told was the fact that when they press gang those people, that leaves behind women and children and whatnot, and then they're sold into sex slavery, used for organ harvesting. And then I was reminded of Viktor Belenko, who was the MiG-25 pilot that defected in 1976 with his MiG-25 to Japan. I read his book, and he talked about how in the Russian military then, because it was under communist control, if you were a young lieutenant and you had a beautiful wife, watch out, because the senior commanders were going to be with her, and you had no control over it. And then I thought, well, I know what they're doing with these press gangs. If you're some poor young Ukrainian and your wife is beautiful, well, you're going to get press ganged, and then your wife might end up in the wrong hands. So, and then Henry Macau had an article about the number one talk show host in Russia. His last name, the translation into English, is Shapiro, and that he has also a website on how to become a Shabbat. Okay, these Shabbat people, Kushner was one, they're just horrible. And then I thought about the fact that Wagner Group is a private military company, so you know there's probably a bank account set up somewhere where when all of these poor, people that can't fend for themselves after the males in their household have been press ganged to go to Bakhmut to get slaughtered, well, you know he probably gets money from Ukraine for all the organ harvesting, sex slavery, child prostitute, you know, all that. He gets his cut. So you can see what's going on there. And of course, none of that's going to be reported on. But so it was really interesting to see what Benjamin Fulford had to say. I never thought about that. So it makes sense.
Well, I may need a little more clarification. What's the role of the Shabbat aspect here, Brian, exactly? And you're saying what? There's collusion between Zelensky and the Wagner Group to slaughter, yes, Ukrainians?
Yes, absolutely. That's what Benjamin Fulford reported. It was actually in the Washington Post, and you have to go back to that Shabbat rabbi.
And okay, I get your storyline. I'm asking, why? Why would that be happening? Why would Wagner be cooperating with Zelensky to slaughter Ukrainians?
For money.
Is this a depopulate Ukraine for the new Israel? So all the Ashkenazi Jews, yeah, can return to Ukraine to have their country, and there are no migrants. I mean, there are no residents of Ukraine because they've all been slaughtered to make way for the Israelis to return to their homeland? Is that the idea?
Yes, and you need to read that speech by Menachem Mendel Schneerson in 1994 where he spells that out, and he is the head of Shabbat, and that's exactly what's in the speech. The speech just sends chills up and down your spine because it's precisely everything that's going on now. And, you know, this Chabad thing, they're just so evil, and they're everywhere. You know, Kushner was Chabad. You know, a lot of these people are part of the Chabad, and they are dual citizens. They have no loyalty to their nation. They have their loyalty to that certain tribe. And so, yeah, it's spelled out. That speech,
you're telling me the Chabad are extreme Jewish supremacists who believe the Jews are superior to all other races, who only exist to serve the Jews. In words, the Jews can destroy, kill, murder, rape, loot the non-Jews with impunity, and that's God's will.
Yes, absolutely. And then that Rabbi Schneerson makes a point of stressing how the Aryans who are Ukrainian Slavic, that they have to be destroyed. They can't be converted. They trying to use all of their mind control crap that we get through the press and whatnot doesn't work on them. So we will just destroy them, and we'll have a little reservation of them in northern Ukraine, and then we'll have Greater Khazaria. I mean, it's an unbelievable speech to read, and you can find it at Henry Macau. If you just punch in Chabad on Henry Macau's search engine, and Schneerson's speech comes up.
You said there would be like a little reservation. What, for who would be retained in tiny number?
The Aryan, the Slavs, the Ukrainian Slavs that don't get destroyed.
Kind of like we've marginalized American Indians here in the U.S.
Yes, exactly.
So, and what is Putin's role in this scheme?
Well, Putin, again, is the victim of his deep state in that, yes, he works for the West. But this Shapiro, who's their number one TV personality, who has his guests that are part of the same tribe as Shapiro, one of them's name was Satan Oski. And, you know, he has to deal with public opinion. And because they're so entrenched in their mainstream media that he has to be careful that he doesn't lose popularity from these people starting to talk, you know, against him. And that's where I think the head of Wagner Group comes in. They say he has political aspirations. So that mainstream press that's part of the deep state in Russia, you know, they're pushing, if you look at the narrative concerning Prashigin, oh, he's the greatest, he's the one saving the Russian army, the Russian army is incompetent, and he's always saying things like this. So they're grooming him for the elections to have this Chabad shithead, you know, try and defeat Putin. But I think that's what's going on. That's what I see anyway. It's interesting how they have deep state just like us, and we're always having to fight it. They always work from within.
Mitchell, what's your thoughts about what Brian's sketching out here?
Well, Brian is absolutely right. We have to understand that everybody is institutionalized. It's not that we're in prison, you know, that most people think when somebody is institutionalized, they're thinking of somebody that is in a government lockdown situation, whether it's in prison or whether it's in a mental health facility. But what people don't understand is that our entire society has become an institutionalized system. and that everybody has become endeared, adorned, and is in that system. And now they can't understand why they can't work their way out of it. And it literally is a systemic institutional brainwashing that we see in mass today by not only the government. Well, it is the government, and it's social media. What we are seeing is this new rise of corporate fascism, national socialism, national fascism, all wrapped up in the one with the veneer of the flag. It's mind-boggling, and everybody is just gobbling it up like it's candy. And they're pimping themselves to this system because they want the money, they want the easy way out, they want everything handed to them. So it's a whole series of devils that we have to deal with when it comes to what we're facing. It's not just a singular problem.
And how is the Biden admin integrated into this scheme of things?
Well, the Biden administration is the Manchurian candidate administration. As you know, if you look back, Obama, a New World Order globalist president, and everything he did was to move us towards that direction. Bush.
Unbelievable how the whole country was played by Obama. Just stunning stuff.
Well, Obama, the first black president, I've said this on my morning show that I do on Rumble every day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. I said that Obama was the impeachable president. He could not be impeached. And because of being the first black president.
He was the unimpeachable president.
Yes, that's what I meant to say. But my Freudian slip as he must be impeached is what this means. But that's what they knew. They knew that Obama could do things that other presidents would be called traitorous and un-American to do.
Because he was black.
Correct.
It gave him a veneer of invulnerability.
That's right. So they took full advantage of it. And the deep state has been in control of our presidents and the CIA, since JFK was murdered, and they assassinated all the other potentials. And then when Nixon gave them a problem, the CIA come up with the moles to take his ass out. We have not had a legitimate president, I don't believe, since John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Yes. I think that's largely true with the sole exception of Donald Trump.
Yes. And that's, of course, why he is, proverbial whipping boy for all the problems.
He is the obstacle. See, I see.
Yeah.
Trump's commitment to American nationalism parallel to Putin's commitment to Russian nationalism. And, they both become vilified. I think Trump far more than Putin, actually. But Putin, so far as I can see, is fighting the good fight for all of humanity, having been declared to be an enemy of the New World Order by no less an eminence than Jacob Rothschild, who's also added that the New World Order cannot move forward without Ukraine, which I find utterly fascinating. I mean, who would have thought Ukraine would be a pivotal nation in relation to the New World Order? Do you have thoughts about that, Mitchell?
Well, I think it's the inflection point that it represents. It represents a continued battle and on the frontier of Russia versus Russia and the rest of the world standing up to the banking system and saying no. You know, are you aware that that Mohammed bin Salman and Saudi Arabia threatened the U.S. with severe financial pain if they didn't stay out of their business when it came to trade with Russia? We're at the break. I'm sorry.
No. I love it. I love it, Mitchell. That's wonderful. I mean, that these other nations, I think everything the West has done has backfired, and the sanctions on Russia have been catastrophic. Brian Mitchell, thank you both for joining everyone. So glad to have you here. See you on Wednesday.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global...